This is Afternoon Programming with L.
Hey, how are you? Wow, it's so amazing to see you. I know it feels like it's been forever, right? Oh, I can only imagine. How's your day gone? Did you see how I paused there for dramatic effect? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Afternoon Programming. This is actually the second episode, episode two. Two is one of my favorite numbers. Two, really 22, because that's the number day I was born on. And also number two, because it's the second month of the year, which is the month that I was born in. And me and my mother share the number 22, because she was also born on the 22nd of August. So welcome to episode two. This should be a special episode, I guess, you know. Hopefully, I hope this one goes well. I really enjoyed recording the first one, you know, me just rambling to myself, talking about these philosophical ideas. You know, I think I'm some sort of philosopher sometimes. I think, aren't we all, though? You know, sometimes we think about life and we think about, you know, what's right and what's wrong, morality, you know, so to say, and, you know, our perspectives. And, you know, it's very interesting. But then also I'm also like a degenerate, and, you know, I just like, I like a lot of things, but I also don't like a lot of things. And, this is just, you know, me just talking to the ether, or excuse me, not the ether, the void, or whatever you want to call it. I'm just talking into this black hole of audio space. So, but thank you for joining me, and thank you for everybody who listened to the episode, the previous episode. I really appreciate y'all. And I love you for it. So thank you. So, what's been going on with me? Ooh, really, a lot of stuff. It's crazy. I was just chilling. I think it was 2 days ago, cause my partner, she had came back. She came back from a trip she was on, and, it's wild. I was just chilling by myself, which most of the time I am. I'm just very much of an introvert and a loner. I don't mind human interaction, but sometimes I just can't handle it, or like, I can't stand it, but it's not more so I just can't stand it. I just can't stand people, you know, sometimes, you know. I think we all have that moment. Like I have moments in life where sometimes I love people, like, you know, you see positive things and you see people like helping each other. You see people talking with each other. You see people celebrating with each other, and you're like, wow. Humans are beautiful. You know, people are beautiful. Like, we have such potential. Maybe potential isn't the right word. That sounds like I'm experimenting on people, but but it's very beautiful. But then there are other moments where, like, I look at people and I'm like, oh, get the hell away from me. Like, get the fuck away from me. I don't want anybody near me. I just want to be in my own little world, my own bubble. And yeah. And so I don't know where the fuck I was going with that, but I have a love-hate thing for people. And really, I guess maybe I could bring on this. I have a few things that I wanted to talk about and just talk to myself about. It's very interesting, social media, right? There's this double-edged sword where we all get to somewhat, in a way, communicate with each other, right? But we don't really hear each other, you know? So, like, for example, if I tweet something, you don't know the context in which I'm tweeting that thing. And for some reason, people put their own context to it. And I think, you know, first you could say something as like, wow, I hope, you know, people have a great day. And somebody could read that as, wow, thanks for being condescending for some reason, versus like, oh, no, this is, you know, you're actually wishing everybody, I hope everybody has a great day or something. You know, it's very interesting because... And this isn't anything new to social media, but people are always outraged on social media. They're always outraged. And most of the time, like on Twitter, like I have a Twitter, and on Twitter, I don't tweet a lot. I just don't, because I think I'm in the group of people who kind of agree that Twitter is not the place to have discussion or deep discussion, I should say. It's not a place where... you go and try to have a seminar or anything like that. And just because it's a lot of jumbled mess and people are going to misunderstand and they're not gonna be able to hear your voice. And you know, do these things. And so, or excuse me, understand you at best. And so I've been noticing, like, I think the other day people were upset at Awkwafina. Now, I really don't know why people are upset at Awkwafina. And I think she had said something to the effect of, like, because she's in the new Marvel movie, the Shang-Chi movie, which looks pretty dope. And she was like, y'all better support this like y'all supported Black Panther. And now that I say that phrase, it sounds very like, you know, I laugh because I think it's hilarious the way that that's phrased. But at the same time, I don't know what context or who she was talking to. But of course, people are gonna be like, you know who she was talking to. But at the end of the day, you don't know. Nobody knows. Did she tweet that? Was it her social media manager? Was, you know, whoever the fuck it was. But it's very, very interesting seeing people get upset, and people love to get upset. People are obsessed with being upset, you know, or at least that's what I think. Not everybody. I'm not going to say everybody, but I think a good amount of people on social media are just like to be upset because they're unhappy in the lives that they're living, and they're not in the place where they want to be, you know, as far as career wise, money wise, situation wise, emotional wise, whatever have it. And I'm very like, I tweeted the other day, I was just like, y'all know things that happen on here aren't as real as real life. Like, as soon as you get off of that app, nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares who you are unless you're like some big, you know, superstar. Like, I think Cristiano Ronaldo, he's like the biggest Instagram person on Instagram. He has like, I think, close to half a billion. So 500 million, I think he's getting close to there. He's very world renowned, known. So people are going to know who he is, or like, you know, other people, other big superstars, you know, movie stars or what have you. But for the most part, your average influencer, nobody cares who you are. and I'm not trying to shit on people, but I think I'm more so trying to put things into perspective that when you get off of that app, like, you don't have the same sort of influence as you might have online, you know? And it's very interesting because I think sometimes people get drunk with power, and, you know, that happens in a lot of places. It could happen at your job. You might be experiencing it, or you might have experienced it in your life, whether it be through a parent, a friend, through work, your manager, through yourself, you know? And it's very interesting how people go on Twitter and they, like, sometimes they will be like, yeah, we need to drag this person. We need to drag this person, or we need to drag so-and-so for saying this. You know, for me, in my perspective, not that anybody cares, but just to put it out there, I'm very much more so of like, I think we should let people do what they want to a certain extent. but at the same time, and me saying that, I'm about to contradict myself, is that I also believe that people also have the right to react how they want to react. Now, whether or not that's an overreaction, that's a whole nother thing. But it's just very interesting to me that, like, people get so caught up in social media, and they get caught up in like these words, this text, you know? But I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, people get caught up in the Bible. I mean, that's text, right? That man wrote. And people fucking kill people over that shit, which don't make no sense. Cause I mean, you're not supposed to be doing that, but or at least I believe so. But it's very interesting how caught up people get into the hype. I guess that'd be a good word. It's just interesting. Humans are so fascinating, man. Like, we can be so beautiful, and we can be so like positive and encouraging 1 minute, and the next minute, the second that you see something that doesn't agree with you, you're all up in arms, you know? I think that more so, I think people should probably look at that and be like, you know, reflect on why it makes them feel that way. Because some people, I think, are one, I think some people just love to hate, and they love to bring other people down. And this is my thing. My personal belief is that I think I don't care what people do or what they believe in. But like, what I don't like is when people hide what they believe in, or like hide that they're this way. It's the same way, like a corporation, like, we know you're poisoning the oceans, and you're driving plastic in the oceans. Don't say that you're not doing that. We know you're doing that. Just be honest and be upfront. and then, you know, allow people to make the decision whether or not they want to continue to support you, you know? And so I just wish people sometimes were the same way. And there was like something else I noticed, like this happened like last night, and it's almost felt like I was meant to see it. I ran across this like little TikTok video, and yeah, I got a TikTok too, if you don't know, but I don't be posting on there much. I might post me playing music or playing the keys or something, but I saw on there, and I'm like, man, it's very interesting. Like it's always fascinating to me when people record themselves crying. Like, or they're going through some of, they're very upset and they record themselves like crying. And I find that so fascinating. Like my brain starts to try to analyze it and go, well, why are you recording yourself crying? And why are you posting this? Why not like sit with your emotion and, you know, whatever happened, if it's real, or if you're just doing it for show, that's a different thing. But why are, like, what are you looking for out of people? Like, what are you wanting? You know, are you wanting people to feel bad for you? Are you wanting people, do you want people to say, hey, it's going to be okay? Is it a cry for help? And it's very interesting because, I mean, you know, the way that I grew up, as I said before, like I'm 32. So I grew up in the age where social media wasn't a thing. And I think like, you know, if I was crying, like there was no online place to do it. You know, I couldn't record myself and post it just, you know, to be crying. But like, I guess the other form of crying would be crying in public, you know, that was a thing. People used to cry in public. Sometimes they still do. And, you know, but it was like a smaller social media thing, so to speak. And, it's just very, very interesting. I know I'm rambling, you know, super long about what's going on in the world, but stay with me. And so it's very interesting, but yeah, I saw it was just like this young person, this young woman, or whatever they identify as, this young woman, she was saying like, or excuse me, she had said something happened and then she was just crying. She was just crying. And I was just like, man, the one thing that like, I don't like, and I mean, this is just the way the world is going, is, that video is going to stay on there forever. I feel like even if she deletes it, you know how, if you put something on the internet, it's never leaving. It's always going to be there. So one thing that we have to combat nowadays for like the next generation and the generation after is that, hey, you know, whatever you post on here, whatever dumb thing that you post on there, not that the girl crying was dumb, but like, you know, if you post yourself doing something dumb, it's going to stay on there online. Like that's going to be on there, you know, those tweets are going to be on there. But I'm like, it's very interesting, like how the newer generation kind of like, how they go about, I guess, expressing themselves emotionally and, you know, getting that out there. And so it's really wild because I think my whole belief on life is that things happen how they're supposed to happen. If you believe in alternate timelines and what have you, like different times and space, whatever, then things that are happening in this timeline, whatever timeline you're in, are happening how they're supposed to happen, you know? And so it's very, 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 very interesting. Oop, I think my dog, she's got the zoomies, so she's like running around, running on the couch, so you might hear a little chains running around in the background. But anyway, enough about that philosophical point, or what feels like a philosophical point. You know, I haven't seen like a good movie in a long time. Well, I saw The Suicide Squad, the new one, which is amazing. I love it. I recommend it. It is hyper violent, so be careful with that if you're not into that. But it's an amazing movie, has great writing, great characters, really like it. But the other day, I don't know why, I just caught myself wanting to chill and watch like Goodfellas. And for those of you who don't know, maybe you're young and you're like, what the fuck is Goodfellas? It's an amazing movie. Let me see. Can I look this up real quick? Let's see. Goodfellas. Excuse the typing. It came out in the 90s. And, oh, that's a different poster. But anyway, it came out in the 90s, and it's basically like your old gangster movies. Excuse me. It's like an old gangster film by director Martin Scorsese, one of the greatest directors ever, at least in my opinion. And it, man, I don't know. Like, I just remember certain scenes, and I was like, wow, this movie was like amazing. It's like, I think 2.5 hours, almost three. It's a long ass movie based on a true story. And, I was like watching it, and it's funny how sometimes, you know, that was made in the 90s, but now we're in the 20s, and it's like, that's what, 10, 20, like 20, 25 years later, something like that. My math is horrible. I'm not good at math. But hearing some of the dialogue, I was like, ooh, this shit couldn't fly today. They couldn't make they couldn't make this today. But it's still a great piece of art. It's still like beautiful in its own right. And for the time, like even now, it's still a masterpiece. Goodfellas, Casino, The Departed. What's another? A Bronx Tale. If you've never seen A Bronx Tale, do yourself a favor and go look at that movie. Go watch the movie. It's beautiful. I think it was directed by Robert De Niro, which he was also in Goodfellas. Joe Pesci was in Goodfellas. Ray Liotta. Great actors. Amazing actors. But I was like, for some reason, I was like, man, I miss these gangster movies. They don't make these gangster movies like this anymore. But of course, I mean, that was a thing back in the day. You know, you had your Al Capones and the Mafia and all that stuff back in the day. But I remember just watching it and I was like, holy shit, like just how movies were done back in the day, like how sometimes they took their time as far as like the story unfolding. And nowadays, you know, some movies are like that, but not, I think most of the time, most movies are fast paced and they just want to keep you focused on the screen, you know? And, it was a very beautiful movie and, I still love it to this day. Such a great film. Where the fuck am I going with this? Oh, which I guess, you know, it brings me to this, big into video games. They're remastering Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. At least I hope so. I hope I'm not just reading a rumor. Speaking of, you transition, look at that transition from gangster films into Grand Theft Auto. Oh my God, look at me, beautiful. But anyway, no, so I grew up playing Grand Theft Auto 3. I remember when I first played it, I was like, what is this? It was very much a shock. I actually shouldn't have been playing it when I played it because I was too young. But man, I'm so excited because I actually have the original ones, but like to get a remaster, which basically, if you don't know, if you're not into like video games or anything like that, remasters are just basically them, you know, making them, bringing them, the scale of quality up. So like, you know, back in the day, it was like a square, like how TVs, like I sound so dumb. How back in the day, like, you know, your screen aspect ratio was like 6x4 or whatever the hell it is. It was a square. And then they did it to widescreen and, you know, the cameras got better and the quality got better. You're in 4K nowadays, but they're doing that to Grand Theft Auto. So it's going to be interesting. I want to see what it's going to look like and, excuse me, to be able to play that like on PC or, you know, I think they're going to bring it to like all systems or whatever. Oh man, I'm so excited because I really loved Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City and San Andreas. They were both beautiful and great games, great story writing and great characters. And I really loved it. And so I can't wait to play through those all again. And so I'm super, super excited. And then I guess that makes me think of like when that was announced, I was like, okay, I wonder what else would be dope to bring back, like a remaster, you know, because now what's happening is, which time always does this and company always does this, they're reaching into nostalgia. So like, you know, I mean, somebody could say they remastered, you know, they did remaster Super Mario Brothers, you know, Super Mario 3 and whatever Nintendo did. It's just like, oh, you think of the stuff that you played as a child and then now you're old and you're like, oh my God, you want to reclaim that feeling of, wow, this is amazing. So I was thinking and I was like, I grew up playing Grand Theft Auto, Jack and Daxter. They already have Ratchet and Clank, Sly Cooper. I was trying to think of like another game that I played when I was younger that I was like obsessed with. I don't remember, but like, I think those two came to mind. And I was just like, damn, I wonder, like what would be another great remaster? Cause like these games right here that are going to come out, this trilogy, I'm like, man, that's it. Like I'm going to be playing those and I'm gonna be like, oh my God, I'm reliving a lot of stuff. Cause I still enjoy playing those games. Even after years after they come out. And so it'll be interesting to see. I guess I could go into this. Let me take a sip of my coffee. Well, I guess we can it's very interesting. I've had a lot of, I'll just say, opportunities to do things where I'm not talking about, like, you know, going to MTV or some shit for my music career, but I'm just talking about in a personal life. I had this like idea and this philosophical epiphany. And I mentioned a little bit of it on the Not Out Here podcast, where one day I was just walking to go get something to eat, like not too far from where I live. And it was like at this this Asian place, and I was getting like something to eat, whatever. And I was walking up there, and I noticed this older Asian male, and he was like pushing a cart that had a bunch of food on it, and basically, you know, like stuff for the restaurant he was pushing. And I was walking faster than him, and I was walking to the door, and then in my mind I was like, hey, there's an opportunity here to be nice to this person. There's an opportunity to help this person. And it's so interesting how my brain was like, oh. And, you know, I held the door open for him, and he was like, thank you. No problem. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I was like, oh, wow, we're given a lot of opportunities every day to kind of, I guess, be nice. Not that necessarily we have to be nice, but it's just more so it's an opportunity to be nice. You know, there's a difference. You don't, because nobody has to do anything. Nobody owes you anything. You don't have to be nice. I could have easily let that door slam in front of him. And like, he might have been upset, but at the same time, like, I didn't have to do that. I just did that because he was, you know, it was nice. It wasn't necessarily a nice thing. He was so close, and I was just like, why not, you know, help him out. And so it's very interesting, because like recently I've been going through a lot of stuff with like my family, as far as like generational, not curses. Curses isn't the right thing, because it's not a curse. It's like just generational things that you're trying to make people aware of, that things that happened in the past weren't as great as people thought remembered them, you know. And you know, there's a part of me that I was having a conversation with my mother. It was an hour long conversation, and we were just talking about stuff that happened in the past, and talking about her and stuff, and talking about things that, you know, just felt like, you know, you need stuff when you need to get stuff off of your chest, if that makes any sense. I'm rambling, but whatever. And we had an hour-long conversation, and I was basically, I felt like an adult to my mother, if that makes sense. I kind of felt like a parent, because I was kind of educating, I say educating, but I was just giving my perspective to my mother on, like, she was dealing with some stuff, and I was like, well, why are you dealing with this person? You don't have to interact with this person. You know, you recognize that this person gives you a headache, or they have a lot of chaotic energy, so, like, why do you keep dealing with them? Why not, you know, if you can avoid them or block them or whatever, just block them, and there you get your peace back. Because I'm very big on peace. One thing that I hate in my life is when there's chaos. Now, I know that chaos is inevitable. I couldn't say that word last time, but I got it this time. but chaos is inevitable. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Whatever. Chaos is going to happen regardless of whether or not you want it to. Right. But if it's something that you can cut out of your life, then why not cut it out of your life, you know? And so I was talking to my mom and educating her on that, and being like, hey, you don't have to, this person in your life doesn't have to be in your life. You can cut them off. Now, I understand you wanting to feel bad, but what's worse, you not getting your peace and living with this chaos, or cutting this person off and then letting them sort themselves out and figure out what's going on in their life to maybe potentially come back? But it's always up to you if you want that, you know. And it was very interesting, because I felt like I was like had unlocked some sort of like wisdom that not a lot of people get. And I was like, whoa, like this is crazy. But I was also thinking, I was like, wow, I was given this opportunity to help my mother, you know, and help her by educating and just like, I guess, giving her wisdom that she might have, but she might have needed a different perspective to help her get there, you know. Because I think as we grow up, if you have parents, most of the time you see your parents in a certain life as if they're superheroes, not realizing that they're actually humans more so, you know, and they're just like you. They're just like everybody else in the world that's going on. They all they're all humans who happen to have superhero like abilities sometimes, you know, versus the other way where they're invincible. excuse me. But like I was talking to her about stuff, and one thing, I don't like talking long, but it went an hour. After a while, I was just like, all right, I need to go do something. I need to get out of here. But it was so interesting because I think at the end of it, I was like talking to P, and I was talking to my partner, and I was talking to her, and I was like, why do I gotta be the one to break these generational curses, you know? And then it was very interesting because like I had talked to my mom for a little bit, and she was like, could you talk to your sister? Could you talk to your brother? Talk about them, because like I said on the last episode, like I recommend, you know, therapy for everybody. It might not work for everybody, but it's something to try, and you never know. There's something about talking to a stranger who doesn't know you, that won't judge you, that's just sitting there listening, that kind of feels meditative in a way, and it kind of allows you to actually let your walls down if you have walls built up, you know. But it was very interesting, and I was just thinking about how I was given the opportunity to help break down these walls that were created by, you know, I guess, I don't know, I guess everybody else and like the lives that they lived before I got here, you know, or my siblings got here. And so it's very interesting. And yeah, and I was just like, wow, I'm given the opportunity to kind of like help make things better. Because at the end of the day, I had told my mom, all I really want is just a mother and a father to be in my life. That's all I want. I don't care about any squabbles. I don't care about any negativity or anything. I just want positivity, because at the end of the day, like my life, the way that I envision it is peaceful. I just want peace. I want to be able to, there. I was talking to another friend of mine when we had gone out to dinner. There was something I was talking to a friend, me, P, and another friend. We'd gone out and we were talking about relationships, and we were talking about basically, you know, why our partnership works, why our relationship worked. And the three points that I hit on were, there are three things that I have in this relationship that I didn't have in any other relationship. That was one, the ability to be myself, right? Because sometimes we catch ourselves putting on masks and being people that we are not. And that's not healthy, you know? It's always more so you have to be okay with being yourself, you know, and not putting on a show for this person that you're trying to impress. It's more so about you being yourself, right? The second thing was, I was like, P gave me the space to be vulnerable as a man. And I'm only speaking from a man's perspective, because that's what I am. I am a man. You know, I wasn't taught growing up how to sort of express myself emotionally or allow myself to feel certain emotions. I always did a lot of like compressing the emotions and the feelings and everything and putting them down. And that's not healthy. You know, you have to get those things out, whether it be talking to someone or just what is it? Just talking to someone or expressing them, whether you cry or just whatever. And the last thing, let's see, there was long to be myself. Oh, the last thing was being able to laugh, because I enjoy laughing so much. I love comedy. I love being silly. I love making jokes. I love cracking jokes. I love poking, not super hard at people, not literally poking, but you know, just cracking up on somebody or something like that. And I have that with all three of those with her. Whereas in previous relationships, I didn't have that. I had like maybe one, or maybe I had two, but it just wasn't like, in order for me to be happy, I needed all three. And so anyway, I'm over here. Here I am getting sentimental and shit. And I'm over here not trying to get sentimental. I'm more so just like, it's almost like I'm talking to y'all like y'all my therapist. But but I urge y'all, you know, let me not say urge, like I'm over here giving some sort of fucking motivational speech. I'm just talking about my fucking life. But anyway, just remember, man, everything going that happens on social media is not as real as real life. Remember that. That might be my like my new catchphrase. Everything that happens on there isn't as real as real life. As soon as you get off that app, you still got to sit with your emotions and you got to sit with yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be happy with yourself, right? That's like the most important thing. Before you can be happy with anybody else, you got to be happy with yourself. So, in closing, my thesis here. I've been talking about for 30 minutes, close to 30 minutes. Okay. I'm about to wrap this shit up because I told myself it was only going to be about 30 minutes. And plus, I got to make some breakfast. It's like, I say breakfast, it's almost 11 a.m. here. Anyway, there's a lot of shit going on in the world. But it's okay to still be happy about your life and where you're at. Things like this are always going to happen. Excuse me. If you can help, try to help. Not necessarily that you have to, but at the end of the day, you should never feel bad about being happy with what's going on in your life if you're in a happy place. Because we all still got to live life. Life continues on. Life keeps moving. And make sure that you watch a good movie every now and then. It's really nice to watch a good movie every now and then. Make sure that you laugh a lot. It makes life easier. And make sure you play a game or two or something. Find something that you love doing and do it. And I love playing video games. I love making music. I love working out. So I do those things constantly every day. And yeah, I don't know how the fuck to end this episode. I feel like this is like some sort of therapy session, but I've gone on for too long. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Afternoon Programming episode 2. This is called the therapy episode. No, it's not. I will catch y'all next Wednesday. Oh, and I know I haven't made an Instagram for this podcast because I've been posting it on my It's Easy L page on Instagram. I kind of feel like, do I need to make a page? But then maybe I should, because I'm going to start recording myself here soon and being on camera. And, you know, it's just going to be me sitting, you know, nothing crazy. But maybe I'll make a page soon. If not, you'll see this on my It's Easy page. I don't really care. Make sure that you continue to do what you want to do. You know, be happy, y'all. And I'll catch you on the next one. Catch you on next Wednesday. Peace.